not complete until we get to this week. All the things we talked about in what was happening to Jesus in the last week of his life really lead up to this one point, and that is his conquering, or his death and resurrection. One 4th century theologian included these words in the worship assembly. "Remembering, therefore, the command of the Savior and all that came to pass for our sake, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection on the third day, the ascension into heaven, the enthronement at the right hand of the Father, and the second glorious coming." These are all things that we seek to remember as we gather together, not just today, but every Sunday. I hope that those of you who have children or grandchildren might take the opportunity at some point as they're growing up to either encourage them to read or read to them The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. There's one very interesting scene in one of the books called The Silver Chair. And in that scene, the evil queen, or the witch, as she's called, she's the embodiment of evil in the land called Narnia. There's a scene in which the group of kids have just saved this prince from having to sit in this silver chair, which was designed by the evil queen to make him forget all about Narnia. And they ultimately destroy the chair, and they're all standing there looking at the chair, and suddenly she walks in. And she looks over at the chair. She knows the spell has been broken, but she's not done yet. And so what she does is she tries to make up another magic spell, and that magic spell simply is to help them forget about Narnia. And isn't that what happens as Christians? We forget what Jesus has done. The world kind of surrounds us with its kind of siren calls to get involved in this and be a part of that and not really think too much about Jesus Christ and how important that is in our lives and how that fuels just who we are. And so today we continue our seeking to remember. And as we think about today and what is an important part of our faith, I want to take a look at the Psalms. It was interesting, if not, I didn't mean it to come out this way, but Wayne talked about the Psalms this morning. We're going to continue that discussion in our thoughts today. And so we want to look at Psalm 22. If you have not turned to Psalm, opened it yet, I'd like you to turn open to Psalm 22. Now, in the initial reading that Eric did this morning, I want you to note in Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, Jesus singles out three sections of Scripture which he claims talk about him. One of those sections is the Psalms. I mean, he makes it a point of all the other writings of the Old Testament to point out that the Psalms speak of him and his work. In Psalm 22, we find that the Messiah was destined to suffer. Jesus kept trying to tell his disciples that was going to happen. Over and over again, he reminded them, and they just didn't fully understand it until after it happened. And then he has to come back again and say, "Okay, guys, remember I told you about this. This was supposed to happen." And then he turns to a number of passages. My guess is Psalm 22 was one of them. But take a look at the things that are in Psalm 22. Probably if any psalm of the book of Psalms reflects, you know, the nature of the Christ's suffering, Psalm 22 would have to be one of the most prominent. Verses 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me?" His words, very words on the cross. Not only his words on the cross, but I believe the experience of the righteous man, that at times they're going to suffer persecution or just have to deal with, you know, the temptations of this world. But Jesus himself was the ultimate sacrifice. And at some point he wondered, where was God? In verses 7 and 8, we read about what happened to Jesus as he was hanging on the cross. People passed by and they said, "Well, you know, he trusts in God. Let God deliver him now." Which we know God could have done. In fact, Jesus even says to his disciples, "You know, I could call 10,000s of legions of angels And they could fight for me now, but that's not what this is all about. And so he suffers on the cross. Verses 16 through 18, more experiences on the cross. Pierce my hands and my feet, count my bones, divide my garments. It's actually pretty remarkable that all these things find their fulfillment in just what Jesus did that day on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And we should not forget in all of this how the psalmist concludes his psalm. And that's verses 27 and 28. Particularly verse 28, which is something we're going to talk about in a little while more. Kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Because he conquered death, he has been enthroned as the king. But that he should suffer and shed his blood was all part of the master plan.